Yes, Fabien.
Very peculiar question. I have a tendency to fall asleep whenever I'm at a teaching, whether it's Jackie Keith, Thomas Sowell, Eckhart Tolle, or anybody else. After half an hour, 40 minutes, I have a tendency to fall asleep. Mm-hmm. If I listen online, I don't fall asleep. It's only when I'm in the presence of the teacher. Mm-hmm. And it has happened for many years. And I want to go to the bottom of it. It's not like, it can be a bit embarrassing if I start snoring and my neighbor is next to me, but it's not so much embarrassment. I'm curious about that. Why do I fall asleep? So one, my ego tried to make up an answer and say, oh well, because you take in more when you're asleep, your subconscious taking more of your teaching. Energy-wise, you know, that's ego trying to
justify,
figure out why this is happening, and it's systematic. There's it's no point me going to any teaching in the hall or anything because I will fall asleep automatically. And
so why don't you stand up?
When you
get dozy.
If I stand up, I will feel. You know, I'm not on the point of falling asleep now because I drank some strong coffee.
Yeah.
So that's why.
Yes.
But yeah, if I stand up, it can help for a while, but I cannot stand up for 15, 20 minutes.
Why not?
Because of my back problem. If I stand up still, I will need to move around. You know, if I stand up still, I start having a back pain. So it's not a solution for me. But I'm curious to get to the bottom of it. Is there a hidden reason for that my ego is making up something, or was it? I have no idea, because I love these teachers, you know, I'm sure I will benefit from being with them in the same room. And maybe it's not important, maybe it's okay to fall asleep. You know, I have no problem about that, but I wonder if you could help me to find out if it's ego made, or if it's just natural, or something.
And if you're at a meeting downtown about restoration of the chapel roof,
I will not fall asleep.
Ah,
because I'm involved. You know, I have when I'm in meeting, I never fall asleep because I have it's interactive. So as soon as I'm receiving, I'm on the receiving end. Systematically, I fall asleep. Like even I'm part of a Course in Miracles group on Sunday night, and people read out the course, and they make a fun out of me, very kindly, because I fall asleep systematically during the course, because there are 8 or 9 people reading the course, and just like after half an hour, I start feeling my eyes getting heavier, and I fall asleep, you know, just like that. It's not only teachers, it's just, even reading a book together. So, yes, standing up, if I stand up and move about, I'm sure that I'll be fine. But is it important for me to take every single word that the teacher is saying, or is it not so important?
You
That's
tell
my
me.
Question.
So, you tell me.
I tell you. I feel it's not important. Because I feel that when I'm going to teaching, it's for me soaking up the energy of the teacher rather than the words. But the same with the Course in Miracles, you know, I've been studying the Course for 30 years, and it's a long time ago I would have thrown the book out of the window, so it's just for the words. But there is, behind the word, there is an energy in the Course in Miracles that is touching me deeply. And that's probably why I'm still going, despite the fact that I'm falling asleep, and you know, I don't understand a word of what the Course is saying and all that, but there is something in me that says, yes, it's good for you. And then I keep going. So,
and do you think you would get more or less if you stayed awake?
I think I would get less if I stayed awake.
How many people believe him? Believe him? Does anybody believe his reasoning?
No.
Isn't that interesting?
I can't believe it.
No one believes you.
No one believes me. No. So I'm kidding myself.
Correct.
So actually, what you're saying is that maybe I don't want to go and I go because some part of me say I should go or something like that. So,
maybe.
Yeah. I shouldn't go to Jack then because it's the same reason. You know, why should I go to Jack if I'm falling asleep, losing out all the good things that she's saying about relationship and the rest of it. Yeah, so so you asked me to find the answer myself.
Yes.
I hear that. You really challenged me to find myself what is the real.
Yes, what's going on?
What's going on?
Jean-Marie?
Yeah, well, it's not typically French, but I fall asleep as well.
Yes, you are more discreet than Fabia, that's for sure. Why do you fall asleep?
Sorry.
Why do you fall asleep?
I think it's because I'm relaxing. And so it's, in terms of presence, it's like when, you know, just before sleeping, but you know, just you go back, and then you know, just when it gets lighter.
Yes.
That's my.
Yes.
My way of feeling things. And then, it's the attention is really getting aware. So it's an effort to stay there. It's an effort to stay there. So when you say be back, in a way, for me, it's just to relax. So then I can, you spoke about the flow yesterday, you know, there's some like a flow.
A flow?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Flow, yeah. Well, it's perceptible, yeah. I can feel it. But then, yeah,
Well, it's different for me because I tried a new experiment. Yesterday, I went to the first floor. I said, facing Jack, I'm not going to fall asleep. I did fall asleep.
Yes.
Despite the fact that I'm facing you and you're just speaking to me directly and I did fall asleep. I did go unconscious at
times. Yes.
And so this is not it. And it's interesting that when I'm interacting in a meeting, it can be a big meeting, small meeting, I never fall asleep. But as soon as I'm on the receiving end, just after a while, my attention starts dissolving. I cannot hear the words, and then poof. Yeah.
Yes. So it's about being awake in the dream, you know? Being awake
in the dream.
In the dream.
Yeah.
When you go to the awake place, you want to fall asleep. It's about being awake in this dream.
That's an interesting angle.
Yes.
Wanting to be awake in the dream.
That's what this is, no?
Mm-hmm.
Being awake in the dream.
Yeah.
It's interesting, too, because the Course talks about that from beginning to end. The Course of Miracles.
Does it?
Yes.
Didn't hear it.
He missed that part.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I will work with that today, you know.
Hmm?
I will work with that today in meditation.
Yeah, what I would do, Fabia, is I would try to develop the neural pathways to be deeply relaxed outside of all of it and awake in the dream. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So right now you have the association between pulling back and, you know, you're in rest and digest and things get simpler and there's no stimulation in your brain and so you associate that with going to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how can you awaken then? You know, because you associate it with opportunity to sleep. So we have to find new neural pathways in your brain whereby you can you know it's not real, you're not stimulated in the same way because no separation is running, but yet you're physically awake. and you're just in the presence. So that's a new set of neural pathways. But you can't develop them if you're going to sleep during that opportunity where we develop them.
How do you create this new pathway?
Stop yourself from sleeping. So, yeah. So all you have to do is just stand up for 3 minutes and it's like, okay, I can feel it. Okay, my back is beginning to hurt. All right, that'll keep me awake for another minute. Stand up, stand on one leg for 30 seconds, you know, for 3 minutes. Then stand on the other leg. Just keep doing things to like keep your attention here, keep your attention here.
Okay.
You'll probably find resistance. I probably will.
I know I will.
Yeah, that's what I'm after. That resistance has to be exposed. That's the story that's causing that.
The resistance.
The resistance is what I'm after. The resistance to developing new neural pathways to, you know, and the one who, the rebel who wants to push against that, who actually just doesn't want to wake up. You know?
Mm.
I'm after the resistance. I want to create resistance, you know. Give it a space to show up. Yeah, so stand up, lean against the post at the back, you know, do whatever you need to do to like, okay, I can sit down again for a minute. Oops, I'm sleepy again. All right.
And there is a part of me that is a bit resenting being sitting for hours and hours because I'm uncomfortable in the chair and I would like to lie down or to move or to do something.
Then
so
do.
There is this part also that is feeling, I was fidgety this yesterday. Also.
Yeah.
Moving,
yeah.
And trying to find a way. That,
yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah.
That's the body, I'm happy in my position.
Get up and stretch, and I mean, there's no rules like.
Get up with that.
Yeah, yeah. Sit on the floor for 10 minutes and get up and go back to your seat again and.
Okay.
Stretch your body. Do what it needs to do.
Good.
But be the manager of it. Be the manager of it.
Not being run by it.
Yes. You're giving into it. You're finding the easy path, which will keep you asleep in the dream. It's fine. But
question, what I said about soaking up the energy, do you think that that's true or not? That even if I'm asleep, that there is something that is communicated to me through the teacher?
Sure, but how good is it to you if you're shifting perception, if you're not understanding the nuances of what's going on and learning about the complexity of being human and the tricks that your mind can play. What good is it? You'll never develop wisdom. You know?
So, to you it's important to use the intellect to understand.
Yeah, because fundamentally it's a shift in perception. So the mind is involved. Awakening is for the mind. You know?
That's probably part of my resistance. Because, yeah, I don't want my intellect to work so hard to understand and to shift my perception. So there is a part of me that is resisting. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Just finding an excuse really to not, not go into the uncomfort zone. Because there's nothing comfortable about waking up. Nothing. There's no reference points. So the familiarity, the patterns, all of that gets thrown out for just being present. It's hugely freeing, but there's no comfort in it. And you're all about comfort.
So, going in an uncomfortable places.
Yes, get out of your comfort zone.
That's my comfort zone.
Yes.
Okay, now I've got some food for thought and some work to do.
Sure. Sure. Even putting your leg up like that is good, you know, just changing the circulation.
Yeah.
Anything at all to like, yeah.
Okay, you might see me jumping up and down.
Yes, perfect.
Lying down or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah. Carolyn.
Yeah, when Krista was sharing about she couldn't remember the word rest, I didn't think much of it until she said it, but I couldn't remember the word digest.
Wow.
I could
not.
Wow. I started trying words.
Yeah.
In fact, when you first said rest and digest in the room, it was like, what?
Yeah.
Okay. So then I couldn't remember the... I came up with cease and desist. The
That's a very common term in the US for legal, legal speak.
Yeah.
You know, you get a letter from an attorney to say cease and desist when you're, you know, using something without a trademark, or, you know, if you're breaking some law, cease and desist. You know.
But when you were working with her, I actually could get... So you're talking to her about what was missing.
Yes.
And I could get... I have a chronic digestive problem. I've had it for over 15 years.
Yes.
And it just ticked something. Do you know what I mean? It just... Because I've often wondered what this actually is.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And so I thought I'd put it out there and see if...
Okay, so there's the physical digestion, and then there's this. There's this, which is, it's very physical, but it's an important part of resting in your natural state of embodiment coming through.
Yeah.
This part of the nervous system has to catch up and be the dominant one, so that we appropriately are in fight or flight when we're literally in the present moment in danger. So the digesting on an energetic perspective, for me, it's about digesting and processing everything that happens in the moment and it leaving no trace. It leaving no trace.
Yeah, I have this sense of somehow in life it's unable to just to actually go down, like I can't.
And is that energetic or physical? Because I'm trying to separate the two, even though we need to...
It's energetic and physical, because the reflexes, it comes back up.
Yeah.
But the experiences, I actually have an experience of things not being able to go down.
Yeah.
About the world.
About the world.
The
energetic digestion.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. So, of course, the body will mirror, just like in Phil's example earlier. His hands have nothing to do with it. It's not actually physiological at all, but it's mirroring the energetic.
Yeah.
And a lot of our health does that. Not all of it, but a lot of it does.
Mm.
Okay, so let's work on the energetic, because that's the root cause. It feels like your body is playing a mirror, you know? The energetic imprint is setting the pattern for your body to be in digestive difficulty. And even like when we shift the energetic digestion, there might be another physiological thing going on, but it'll be one layer. It mightn't be the whole lot. You know, it's complex, isn't it? You know.
Yeah.
Okay. So what would energetic digestion look like? Let's say there's a clash with somebody. You know, difference of opinion that gets kind of a little bit nasty. You know the way this kind of happens with people sometimes? Does it stay with you, like for ages? Do you replay? What happens? What's the stickiness look like?
It doesn't happen a lot.
Yeah.
It's been happening lately. There's something about... So what I say to myself is, I can't understand how we can't see through that, or they can't see through that, or we can't see through that. You know what I mean? Like how can you be that blind? Do you know what I mean? It's like it's that kind of a...
And the you would be you or the other person? Who would be the dominant you? How can you be
talking? I'm projecting it.
To be the other person,
yeah.
Would have the blind spot.
Yeah. Or how can we, you know, how can we, so how can you create a situation like climate change, you know, this...
And the you is external.
The you is all of us.
Okay, you're included.
It's my consciousness as well, so
okay.
Not excluded from it, but it's
okay.
Like how can, you know...
Uh-huh.
But when it's one-on-one, it's like how can... There's something about it not going.
That's right.
Down.
That's right.
It doesn't go down.
Yeah. The passing through, the letting go, it's smoother. Because I'm I'm watching you as you speak, and that's, for those of you who haven't been with me before, that's often how I'm watching the energetic as you speak to see where you're looking from, what's going on, what's your energy field doing as you're using these words. And it's like a drain pipe, and there's globs stuck to the drain pipe. You know, there's stuff going through, sure, but there's globs, like residue sticking, you know, on the side. And I'd love to go in with the back of a brush, a handle of a brush, and like slough them off so it's a clear passage through, you know.
Well, energetically, while we're talking, it's all right here.
Like yes, this. Down your torso. Yeah,
right down.
Yes.
The center.
Yes, mm-hmm. And yesterday down the center was that purple.
Well, that was
dark
square,
purple.
But this is, yeah.
Yeah, but there. So it's again. It's your torso has this interference. The TV snow was like interference, you know.
Yeah.
You know. Okay, what would it be like if things were to? I want this energetic, another energetic model to be presented to you. Okay. What would it be like for an incident with somebody to happen and it to flow through in a different way, without denial or anything, but it not to stick so much or not to kind of circle around your head so much? What would it be like?
Well, I know what it's like because that happens as well. And it happened for me with my husband after years and years and years of the same triggering behavior and suddenly seeing through that. So I have an expectation of, it's like, so for example, something would happen and I would say to him, why do you do that? Or why would you, he hasn't got a clue why. It's the most useless question I could ask him.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
But it took me 30 years to see that.
Yes.
And since that's occurred, there's no resistance anymore in the relationship. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If he does something and I get mad, then I just get mad. I don't ruminate about it and, you know, I don't personalize it. I know it's just him.
Yes.
Being him.
Yes.
You know, and he has no more control over what he's doing than I have over what I'm doing.
That's just not sticky. Beautiful.
Yeah. So I know what that's like. And that's why I say this thing that's been going on for the last week and a half, it feels very old.
Yeah.
And it got triggered. I was watching a video about this woman recounting her near-death experience. And she described herself as a child. And it was like, it was something that I haven't focused on in years, but it was like she was talking about me. And so she was about 4 years old or something when she discovered that people were poor or they didn't have enough food to eat. And it would devastate her. And this is the way I was as a kid. Everything wasn't like it happened to somebody over this. Like, how could this be? What do you mean? You know. And so it kind of brought to the surface this this anguish. It's not even just this anguish about the pain that we live in and we cause, and we don't seem to see that we're the cause of it.
Yes.
Yes. But up until I was in my late 20s, it would take me out. I wouldn't move. I mean, I was depressed.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
It was all too much.
Paralyzed you a bit.
And that's what's coming up lately. So I want to cry all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. That often happens when there was like a feeling or a perception that we had in our youth. It's sitting there, you know? It's a pattern that we have to resolve somehow. It very often goes back to, you know, I was going to say haunt us, but it's not to haunt us, to be revisited and resolved in some way. Okay. Yeah. So that experience in childhood, it reminds me of some sacred texts, or you know, the sages that we've set up on a pedestal. They often say, I don't know if it's Nisargadatta. I'm not sure who it is, but I know there's a few of them where I've noticed, they're seeing that too. That at some stage of, you know, many years post-awakening, that the sorrow of this ridiculous amount of suffering that we do to ourselves and the awareness of that and what it causes, you see? That phase was very short for me. It was just like, I'm adding to it. For me, it shifted. It was just like, oh, I'm adding to it. No, that's not going to help it at all. The acknowledgement and recognition of it, to add to it? No. The best thing I can do, actually, is bring more joy and lightness here without denying it. That's my take on it. Whereas many of the teachers, you know, and even, you know, when Mary, the divine Christian Mary, appears, very often it's in tears at the amount of sorrow that we create. So it's there too. So there's that whole frequency of like very fine, high vibration. That is exactly as you say, just like, look at the amount of suffering. But for me, no, I will not add to it. By endorsing it as a reality. It's there, but it's not going to run through my body. It's not. I want to bring more light. I want to bring more freedom. That's my gig. So you've got to find out what honors you. I can only say there's two examples here. And what honors you is the right one. There's no right or wrong in this. It's what honors you, honors your path. So were you onto something as a kid? Yes, you were onto something. Did you personalize it? Yes, because that's why it brought you into a kind of a depression or paralysis, you know? It brought you into that. Okay, that's the personalization. Can it be seen as like, this is part of human nature, this is what we do?
Yes, and I have seen that, and I've been in that place of freedom. I mean, what got me out of the depression, but I did the S training many years ago, and it just, you know, what would take me 2 months to get over took 2 weeks and then
yes.
2 days and then
yes.
2 hours. And it just kind of happened by itself. I didn't
yes.
go after it.
Yes.
It just seems to have resurfaced. Somehow.
Yes.
And maybe it's not a resurfacing. Maybe it's something that's going on now. I don't know.
I think it's a bit of both. But I think the roots of it are in your... It was a viewpoint that you had a little bit before your time. You didn't know what to do with it, you know? So what I'd like to know is from the, I think it was age of four or something. I don't know if that's what you said, but that's what I pictured. Okay. From the age of four, what is it that you are not digesting that you can digest now because you have another chunk of years of wisdom? What were you not able to digest? Because something got stuck there.
The injustice.
Ah. The injustice. So energetically, for you to digest injustice. That's what you're called to do. Yeah. 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 Ooh. So it's an invitation to see injustice, and to energetically see injustice from a different viewpoint, of where it doesn't crank up a response. So without denying it, can you see it from another viewpoint where there's no denial of it, but it's seen with more wisdom? More insight, more understanding, more compassion.
I hope so.
Okay, can you go there? Can you find that viewpoint right now? okay, if you can't, can you see the light that's coming from that viewpoint, even though you can't go there?
Yes, I can.
You can?
I can.
Great.
But...
yes.
Somehow, I've got it that's an injustice too.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? That's available.
Yes. Yes.
It's like this, because a lot of this comes out of my questioning about death, I feel like I'm, you know when you can almost see something, but you can't quite, you know something's going in, but you don't know what the hell it is?
Yeah.
It's been like that. It's been like there's just this piece that seems to be missing.
P-I-E-C-E or P-E-A-C-E?
P-I-E.
Okay.
It's almost like you're trying to hear something,
you know?
You can't quite... what?
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Yes. Because especially if I listen to these people talk about this near-death experience, or if I read something about the in-between lives and all of this stuff, and this, just this complete unconditional love and comfort, and, you know, there's something I can't, it's just, and I know that that's so, not because I know it intellectually, I've actually had the experience of it where everything disappeared and there was nothing but light and love, and it was beyond anything I could say. It just feels like there's something. Almost like what you said about the gears, you know, there's like just stuck someplace.
Something stuck.
I think it has to do with power as well.
Okay. Yeah.
Like I have to stand in something really big.
Yeah. Let yourself get big right now, Carla.
It's actually happening.
Yeah. Good. Really big. I just want to tell people what I see going on, what I need you to keep expanding and expanding. So it's a part of Carolyn's consciousness that you know, is long locked into, obviously, a subjective perception of injustice and feeling the power that gets cranked up to react against injustice. But actually, what she's avoiding is the power of the unified field that is okay with all of it. And so as she's expanding now, it's like actually she's coming into real power, which is okay with all of it. But it feels like there's a betrayal of holding the injustice. Do you know, our mind often imagines, will I lose, that this isn't quite hers now, but this might be useful for other people. Will I lose, you know, the global energy, it links to Jennifer a little bit. Will I lose the global energy of injustice is wrong and it shouldn't happen? Am I betraying it by pulling back? I'm abandoning my position of knowing that injustice is just wrong. And I have to support that viewpoint because it helps in some way, and you energetically know it's helping in some way. And so in the pulling back and the unified field, so the part of her that's caught there is opening up now to abandoning the position of the personal and opening up to the global, so that she's holding all of it. So the container for injustice is seen from another viewpoint. Do you see? And it's seen as part of the whole play. But she won't get as cranked up about it because she won't get caught in it. And if the mind will imagine that you're denying it, that you're abandoning your position, that you're not
even caring, even don't care.
Yes, yes.
You know, this is like it's almost like a guilt trip, isn't it?
Almost.
But you have to overcome it because it's all
that's right.
Relief as well again.
That's right. That's it, Aki. That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
That's it. And to be really careful to know that you're not avoiding, that you're doing it because you're transcending and you're lifting beyond and you're including. It's not that you're playing games with it because it's not comfortable to feel that.
Yeah.
It's not that at all.
Yeah.
But only you can feel that, you know? Mm-hmm. Yes, Carolyn.
The thing that set this off was someone attacking someone else.
Okay.
Okay. And in the moment that it occurred, because I was the person who was facilitating this environment, I did not get caught in the crossfire, but
yeah.
I could feel what happened.
Yes.
Both sides of it, okay. And it was very smooth and opening, and I engaged with this person because she wanted to run. I didn't try to pull her back. I just spoke to what she was speaking to, which the other person was objecting to. And she came back of her own accord into it. And it was very beautiful and open and peaceful and all of this. And when you were talking about what you were talking about just now, the thing that doesn't disconnect is the love. You
yes.
don't lose the love.
Yes.
You know, the
yes.
love it expands.
Yes.
Without the pain.
Yes.
Of it.
Yes.
You know, and this is also something I've been struggling with since my family died. This love
yes.
and pain connection.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I do.
And so I can see what you're saying because that's what's available. And everybody gets included. But when I had to speak to the other person afterwards, and she's somebody I know really well for a long time, she's a friend of mine, and this woman is someone who I know because she's on the call with me.
Okay.
For me, it was out of character what she did. So when she said to me, with the tone in her voice, "I'm not sorry."
Ah.
It was like a defiant kid. It was like the ego was like, do you know what I mean? It was
yes.
just all there in technicolor.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And I went someplace. It that's what I mean. Somehow that personal thing came back
yeah.
and like I should
yeah.
have been able to do something about this.
Yeah.
Or prevent it or
yeah.
there should have been enough regard for the space we were in that
yeah.
shouldn't happen. All of that
yeah.
injustice
yeah.
kind of.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But it was a hell of a lot of fear for what my mind said is not that big of a deal. An incident. But it is a big deal. To me, it's a big deal.
If you didn't know her personally, do you think it would be different?
It might have been.
Mm.
It might have been. I might have felt less threatened to
yes.
respond.
Yes.
Even though I stayed in conversation with her, this fear came up, you know. I could almost hear myself saying, you know, I could stop doing this call.
Aha.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Something to do with investment. That's what I
That's
said
right.
yesterday.
That's right.
I'm still too interested in
yeah.
me.
Mm.
Or the identity or the
how it could be. and how it is seem to be at odds with each other.
Yeah, which was very clear to me in the conversation on the phone. I was with how it was.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
In fact, when she said what she said to her, I almost laughed.
Right.
You know, it was
yes.
so like out of,
yes.
you know.
That's right.
And you could tell she exploded.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it was something that she had held in.
Yeah.
But none of that other stuff went on. It came afterwards.
Came afterwards, yeah.
Came afterwards. And
yeah.
it just got bigger and bigger as the days went on.
There we go. It wasn't being digested.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't get it.
You couldn't get it through. Yeah. Yeah. yeah.
And I couldn't even really look for it because I knew it wasn't in my head.
Yeah.
And I just...
Yeah.
I couldn't look for it.
Yeah.
I just kept noticing it.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're looking for it to just slide through in its own way. Even if it takes a few days, it's very gentle. So, oh, there it is again, but it's not sticky. You know, it just, some things digest a bit slower than others, but you know they keep moving. Every time you think about it, it's shifted another little bit. The color has changed. You see, this is normal. You know, I'm never concerned about how long it takes. It's like, what's the process?
Yeah.
What's the process? You see? Yeah, but this is hitting a few glitches. It's tricky when we're playing two roles, when there's a personal dynamic and then there's another layer of interaction with a different set of rules, really,
yes.
you know, at the same time. And for us to be completely present is really tricky because we naturally merge one way of interacting with somebody. It bleeds into the other way. So it's very difficult for us to be completely benign, objective, a clear player, but being present to it is. I love doing that. I love doing that because some of this group I've never met before, and some I'm hanging out with for like up to 10 years, and I love doing it just to see, just to kind of go into the place of. Seeing that this moment is fresh, and I might or might not remember that it was the same thing. Like Krista, I didn't remember at all that soft beauty. It's like, oh God, yeah. And when she said it, I totally remember, but I hadn't. It's like I never met her before. Mm. That's how I do it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just present. I'm just present, and I might or might not remember the pieces. And sometimes I do, and sometimes, but it's not like going into memory. It's like it just shows up in the present. It just shows up in the present. Do you see?
Yes.
That's the difference. I'm not saying mine is better, but it just doesn't get stuck.
I've had that experience. I know.
You can find that.
When you don't hold somebody to your memory of that.
That's right.
I mean, it's just what's.
It's just what's presenting right now.
That's what's happened with my husband. So
there we go.
You know.
There you go. You have the model.
Yeah. No, it's a lot of places, but I certainly don't want to try to ignore it just because I know it's someplace else. Do you know what I mean? I don't want to ignore what's going on with me. I know you're not saying that, but it was, I couldn't pull it into this. It was like this somehow needed to be seen or come up. It was just too strong energetically in my body.
Yes.
It was too strong.
Yes. So the optimal is you being present, which you can do in other such scenarios. And whatever blind spot there is for this to be stuck has to do with something that's not digesting in the optimal way for you. And it's got to do with you being small and you being huge.
It's an old thing.
Uh-huh. So what if we were to lose the mold of being small? Mm. Kind of like smash it up like. And let your energy field expand and it's like, okay, that's the shape, that's the shape. And break the mold.
It feels like I'm ready.
Yeah.
It does feel
yeah.
like that.
Yeah. It might be that your friends might change. It might be you might be uncomfortable for a few people. So be it. So be it. At a certain point, it's like, if this is too much, I'm not going to dim my light, actually, just to fit in anymore. I have to roll with the consequences and learn how to operate from this.
Yeah, this is really good, because I actually could feel the sense of smallness in me.
Good.
A good of my...
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's an old belief.
Yeah.
It's an old...
Yeah. 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 In the wide energy field, the pass-through is much bigger.
Mm.
It's much bigger. It's not like a rain chute, you know?
Yeah.
It's really much larger. And so whatever passes through washes out, you know, because there's so much space, so much can pass through, can run through us without sticking. It really keeps cleaning itself. The contraction allows us as the sticky parts. You see?
Yeah.
So the state of digestion is linked with rest because it's much wider. It doesn't have any narrow edges.
I keep thinking of redemptive love. It's a term that Adyashanti did an online course about. And he defines redemptive love as the love that returns things to its natural state.
Oh, beautiful.
And there's this whole thing about dropping in. And the first time I listened to it, it was so... it was like remembering why I was born, actually. That's what it felt like to me. This feeling that was so... it just felt like who I was.
Yes. Yes.
And... yes. In that this room,
yeah,
for all of it.
Yes, for all of it, yeah. For all of it, yeah. Because it's who you were, like, before Carolyn.
Yeah.
Yes, Wendy.
I think with digestion, kind of a bit the other way, but lots of things have connected in the conversation that you've had. So so from a young age, well, my family pattern, a lot of anger, reckless anger from my mother, flying around. And I felt like I took it all on board. So it's like I'd never thought about it in this way. It's like I know that I was kind of the peacemaker, and
yes,
it's actually because I overeat. Do you know, I really enjoy food, but I don't really have a stop button for
yes.
That's enough.
Yes.
And I'm aware sometimes there's a spaciousness, but it's like, no, I feel I should eat more. I need to eat. I mean, not massively.
Yeah.
But it's like it's there.
It's a mixed message. There's a message coming from someplace else.
And it's like there's a pattern, and it's like, what is it? Anyway, so it feels like, okay, it's like as a kid, I received the message or interpreted life that I needed to, and I'm checking this out with you, that actually I needed to digest the anger and the difficulties between my parents and my family.
Yes, yes.
And I didn't want to.
Yes.
But I couldn't say, I don't want to. I just learned, and at school the same thing happened. I took on board.
Yeah.
And it's like,
yeah,
I need to eat it.
You need to eat it.
I need to eat it. I need to digest it.
Yeah.
And even though I didn't want it.
Yeah.
And it feels like that's part of that pattern.
That's right.
And then with that, like the big small thing also, it's like mostly I'm fairly chilled these days. And I don't get into much emotional turmoil. But when I do, we don't watch much TV either, but I do watch Outlander. Very exciting. But it's like, I find it so exciting. Phil and Tony, it's like, if I watch Outlander, oh my God, I gave myself reflux after one episode because I'm like this, I'm literally shaking. And I know I'd spoken to you about that kind of process in Assisi, and it's like you can only deal with it when it came up. So I was like looking at the story-making mechanism. It's like my mind was clear.
Yeah.
My mind was clear of the story. And
yeah.
I could see it all. But my body...
Your body was right in
my
there.
My body, isn't it? It's like, oh my God, I was like, I have to hold on to the phone. I'm like, I'm shaking.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, that's the thing, isn't it? Like the small, the little Wendy...
Yes.
...thinks I have to digest.
To digest.
That
I have to run this through my body.
I have to run it through.
Energetic body, and now it's gone to physical body.
Yeah. But expansive.
Yes.
You can just let it pass through.
Yes.
And I don't have to.
And how much do you need to pass through? And do you need anything to pass through?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I would say for you, nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. Don't pass anything through the system.
Yeah. So is that enough that I've just seen and connected? Is that going to be enough to make a shift? Because it feels like in my, it feels like in my life, I'm, you know, I, it's like I can, things come through and I'll speak them quickly. You know, at work, if I have to hold a boundary or there's some conflict, I'm like, well, okay, done, and then I'm on and forget it. It feels, you know, there's lots of areas where there's a lot of maturation taking place.
Yeah, yeah.
But this piece with, that's kind of feels like that's fitted.
I want you to think, Wendy, about. How would things get digested if I don't run them through my energetic or physical?
Okay.
How would things get digested? Because if your mind has another way of understanding it, you know the way the mind needs logic sometimes to in order to go into
there's
a new pattern.
There's an identity piece, isn't there? There's a bit of a controlling piece, like I need to be involved in some way with the smoothing of the release.
Sure, that's right. That's right. That's where I want you to go. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay.
So for you, your mind to figure it out, to have another way, because it can't bypass. It's got to understand it differently and frame it differently to take the personal out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you'll see, of course. It's like, oh my God, that's what it was doing. You know?
Yeah.
That's the last piece. So you're right. Have I seen enough of it? It's like, not yet. Not yet.
Okay.
There has to be an alternative model that will make sense to you for you then to throw it out.
Yeah, because I'm still thinking, I still need to let it pass, but it's like...
No, actually...
It's like that's not even there, it's just... It just
you're right.
It just
yeah.
doesn't go anywhere.
It doesn't go anywhere. It's like, it's not your gig to
run
the system.
I mean, now I'm
just
ridiculous, because it's all made up anyway, you know?
Yes.
I'm there, like, this is just... It's so not real.
Yes.
You know, it's such an illustration for me.
That's right.
But I just, you know, the book is so strong.
That's right.
Right.
It's just a pattern that's been there all your life to run process things through you.
And at the same, I think the other side of that has meant that I haven't had space.
Yes.
To do what I need to do.
For you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because I'm too busy doing this.
That's right. Yeah.
Seeing how I can serve.
And every part of me says that only digesting your own stuff is what's right for you.
Yeah.
You have more than filled your quota of running stuff through your system. It's done.
Yeah.
It's done.
Yeah.
Not even for your boys. Don't run anything through your system. It's done. You can't make it good. You have to stop it.
Yes.
You have to stop it.
Yes, I totally see that.
Yeah, good, good.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's just not helping you.
Yeah.
Is that meaning doing nothing? Not making it good.
Is that me doing nothing? It's not about swapping out one pattern for another. You know? It's about like... So her mind might say, yeah, but you should process things for... I should be able to process things or digest things for my children. You know? And it's like, actually, no. No. Because the old pattern will sneak through for her. She won't be able to edit what she processes because she learned how to process through her system from her parents from pain, so it actually wasn't her natural to her at all to do this. So does it mean doing nothing? It means not doing that. It means turning away from processing things through her system.
It's like I have to recognise when it's coming up.
It's a recognition.
I have to stop it because it's not a conscious. That's right. I do this. I don't have that on a conscious level at all.
Yes.
I realise it's just...
Yes. It's like opting out. It's like, I'm not doing that. Yeah. I'm not doing that. It's more like that. So the doing nothing... It's consciously doing nothing. It's consciously. She has to be conscious. So that's what she has to do, is be conscious of it. And it's like, my hand keeps pushing it away. It's like, nope, I'm going to watch Outlander and this is not going through my body. No way. No way. And if it's going through my body, it's like, oh, I can feel it. I'm going to walk out, get myself a glass of water, make myself a cup of tea and watch it from behind here. Will I get closer to the screen? Will I get closer to the screen? Because the energetics. Yeah, because, yeah, it'll be easier for you when you're further back. Yeah, and as you kind of approach the sofa or wherever you sit, it's like, wow, you know, because the TV screen, you know, you'll have a wider view and you'd see it's a TV screen, whereas when we get closer to it,
quite away.
Yeah, yeah, like really stand back, you know, even turn your body to the side and watch the TV that way. Just play with it. It's like, how can I not run this through my system?
When the laughter has stopped, it was like, honestly, it was about 2 months before I was actually could be really calm from it.
Wow.
Because
wow.
Of the, it's like the, there's such an involvement with the characters.
Yes.
So I don't know if there's a weird past life connection with Scottish characters as well. I don't know if that's going on, but
sure.
It's like I'm so involved.
Either way, it's identification.
Yeah.
Either way, it's something, exactly. A connection in there that's not useful. I'm conscious of the kitchen,
yeah,
and the gong. Is that all right? See you guys at 3:30? Okay. Be sure to get some exercise. Physical exercise. Okay? Talk to trees if you have to talk to trees. Do what you gotta do. See you later.